Oh. Y'all want to turn your mics on? No. Larry, you want to turn your mic on? Your mic? He's not. Something. He had something come up. There you go.
Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those whom you have set in positions of authority among us, and guide by your Spirit they may be wise in purpose, high in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be governed quietly and peaceably, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray for the agenda set before them today. Give them an assurance that what would please you and what would be for the benefit of those who live and work in our beloved city of Lano. It is in your most blessed name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ralph. All right. Public comments concerning matters not on the agenda. Stanley Miller? Okay. We're not talking right now. Stanley is. Yes.
He wants to put tents over those.
Okay, start up. I couldn't hear you.
Tents over those chairs, under the seats, and in front of the stage, which I don't think is a problem. And I'm right after the event, I'm going to put up little signs instead of people tearing down stuff when it's over, just to send the message to appreciate what's been done in Lano and what it would do for the tourists to be able to come and see the incredible display we have.
Okay.
I thought about it, calling it criminal mischief. But I'm going to try the kind angle first.
I love it. Okay.
And just pass it around to appreciate it's something to leave and enjoy rather than play with and tear down.
Well, I know you've had a passion for Leaf since the festival began, so we appreciate your interest and your heart and your involvement. Thank you, Stanley. Okay, now I get to do that thing where we go in the other room. Employee presentations. Yay, I've got Sam, Christopher, and Otto Rushi. 10 years. Sam, come up here and get your picture taken.
Together?
Okay. We can do it together here. You hold that up, Matt. You hold that, Matt.
Well, I can do
that. And I'll hold you both.
That
won't
work.
Thank you, guys. Feels like 50? That's funny. All right. The city council will convene into executive session in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 551.074, Personnel Matters, to deliberate the appointment, employment, performance evaluation duties, compensation, discipline, and or dismissal of the city manager. And we will convene an executive session in accordance with the Texas Government Code 551.071 to consult with the city attorney in regarding Collier materials. So it's 5:33, and we'll be back. City Council will convene an open session for discussion of possible action concerning the appointment, employment, performance, evaluation duties, compensation, discipline, and or dismissal of city manager. 6:34. We're back in session. Hey, do I have a motion?
I would like to make a motion to give Finley DeGraffery a $5,000 a year raise. I do have a question, Kara. Hewitt, could you please tell us what we have in the budget for city manager salary?
Do you know what that is, Kara?
It was budgeted what y'all brought in at.
Okay.
There was more budgeted at the time, I thought.
It's all changed.
Okay. During his hiring?
After he was hired, that budget line item has changed.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I stand by my motion.
Okay.
I second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Moving on to consent agenda items. Approve the Lano.
Is there not number two?
Yes.
Okay. You want me to read it? We don't have a motion. But do you want me to read it? Okay.
No action.
No action. Okay, on letter G, consent agenda items. Approve the Lano City Council regular meeting minutes from February 17, 2026. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. On H, regular agenda items, discussion and possible action to approve crawfish special event application and issue an event permit. Okay, Kim?
It's just standard as they are before. They are going to meet with Gilbert the week before?
No, we usually do it about 2 or 3 weeks before the event to get all that.
Get it confirmed.
Okay, So if anything changes on the EOP, they will let us know.
Okay.
Right. I move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you for using Lano for your event.
Okay, we appreciate y'all. Number two, discussion and possible action to approve a request from the Ladies in Leather Motorcycle Parade Rally from June 5th to June 7th. For the exclusive use of the east end of Robinson Park and waive tent camping fees of $10 a person. I have Jewel Le Bonte here. Would you like to come up? And she's representing. Well, you don't have to. I mean, well, I will answer questions if we have any. Yeah, we appreciate you being here.
I do need to clarify, it is the 4th.
Oh, okay.
Not the 5th.
Not the 5th.
They want to come in half a day and set up.
Okay. Now, this is the weekend of our rodeo, so that'll be going on out there as well in that area. So same weekend as. I mean, I love it, but I'm just, my brain said, hey, that's the weekend of the rodeo. So,
I'll pass that on.
Yeah.
She don't know about it all.
Yeah, just so you're aware.
It's the same.
Yeah.
So do we have a number of how many camping tents that we think we're going to be?
Can you ask
for a head count for us? I don't know yet.
Okay.
It's sometimes last minute people jump in.
Yeah.
What's normally
is that year, but
is there 20, 50, just
15 to 20?
Probably 20.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd say 20.
Okay. Yeah, around 20.
Bring some of the park, RV spaces.
Okay.
Some of them do use the hotels here.
Yeah.
It is a fundraiser for the food pantry.
Right.
Some of the ladies, since we don't, if we do pass the tent camping, they bring like more canned goods and stuff like that.
Thank you for clearing up.
Yeah, we love to do that. That's one of our favorite things to do. And they do clean up. I mean, everybody, when we talk to the parks guys, they do clean up and all the trash.
So they contribute while they're here, for sure. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move to accept.
Okay. I have a motion. I need a second.
A second.
Okay. I have a second. Any further discussion?
We're just very grateful.
All right, thank you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you very much.
Okay, motion carries. Look forward to seeing you, ladies.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll ride on the back of a motorcycle if you. Okay, awesome. I don't know how, so I'll have to ride along. Okay.
Just hold on.
Yeah. All right, number three, discussion and possible action to approve resolution R2026-11, amending the master fee schedule for sanitation rates.
This is the increase on our contract. Every year?
No, go ahead.
The CPI increase that Waste Connections gives us every year, that's what this is. That's all it is.
Yeah.
We didn't add anything else to it.
Okay. Alrighty. So basically, we're just passing down the expense they've given us.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
I have a second and a third. All right. Any discussion?
Just so it's very clear, this is trash.
Yes. The garbage.
To us. So therefore, we're
Yeah.
I didn't put my name to talk, but I do have a question.
Yes, Addie.
In the letter that came along with this as far as the backup, it said the new residential unit rate would be $15.19 per month. What is that number? What does that mean versus $27.19?
The city adds an administration fee of $12 on residential, $13 on commercial. Okay. Inside the city limit.
For every single castle?
Yes.
For single.
Yes. Well, our contract is different because whenever you bid your sanitation, you can have it where they do all the administration, where they bill, you call the sanitation company if you have any issues, if your trash can is broken. We do all of that here.
Okay.
That's why.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's paying for the bills also, printing and
yeah. All. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Gotcha. Number four, discussion and possible action to approve $7,894.50 for T-post fencing to replace existing railing at City Hall. Okay. Finley.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Items 4 and 5 are related. This is for repairs and bringing the staircase, the exterior staircase off of our upstairs porch up to code, mostly up to code. I think we still have some flat work to do on the landing. The staircase has varied riser heights. And the spacing of balusters are too wide. The repairs and upgrades represent the first of several improvements that council may want to consider including some lighting and flat work. The scope in this agenda item includes removal, replacement of stair treads, one stringer with steel stair tread plates and vertical bars added to existing railing. The space between the treads of the riser space should be a consistent 6 3/4 inches. So we would look for your consideration on that. Mayor and Council, if you'd like, I'd go ahead and introduce item 5 as
okay.
well. And that is the complimentary amount to straight loose paint, sand the existing one coat of primer and two coats of SWDTM acrylic paint on the stairs once that's done. You will lose the concrete on the treads, but the platforms will remain as they are, but they will be grooved and textured treads will be going in. The contractor that has bid this item is in the audience if you have any other questions.
Okay. All right, so on agenda item 4, do I have a motion? This is to replace the...
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am?
Was the request for bids put out? Are there other bids that need to be considered?
It does not meet the threshold for that.
What's the amount
does
for that?
Does that mean you can't put it out for bids or just that it's not?
It does not meet the threshold. You can at council discretion.
You were only required to at a threshold of what, $50,000 or? Yes, $50,000.
I'm sorry, was there another question?
I'm going to nitpick this to death. That sounds bad, but instead of replacing existing railing, we need to say existing staircase, because the railing out front here is not going to be changed, correct?
Correct. Railing on the porch is not.
Okay. Okay, so just staircase railing. Gotcha. Okay. So on number four, for the replacing the existing staircase and railing, do I have a motion?
I move to accept.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mayor, I'm going to recuse myself because the person who is doing the metal staircase is my husband.
Okay. All right. So none opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. And on number five, to paint this repair, do I have a motion?
I need to accept.
Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you. Number six, discussion and possible action for approval adding video to council chambers. Okay. Kelly, I think you're the name on this. And then Kim's got some things to add.
Yeah, I just asked the staff to come up with what, get free bids if we could to do not just video but audio. At one time, 15, 20 years ago, we had that. We have the cameras. I don't know what happened with that. If it just needed upgrading, we chose not to continue that upgrade. But that's all. I just asked staff to get us some numbers together so we can kind of maybe, appease the general audience of who wants this done or who doesn't want this done, and what what it's going to cost the city.
Okay, and Kim, what did you find out?
So we've met with one company. Another one's coming next Wednesday, and I'm still waiting to hear from the third. We're needing to know, do you want one camera just shooting over here and we move the podium over there, or do you want two cameras, one here, one there? Or do you want wireless microphones, or do you still want do you want wired in microphones, or do you want wireless microphones?
How many batteries do you go through?
Yeah.
All of them.
I feel like the wired in would.
Every time, whether they need
it. Would be more efficient and give you less work to do as far as keeping up with microphones.
But I'd like to see us get a bid for both. The one camera, what we're up against, the two cameras, what we're what we're looking at budget wise, if it isn't covered by the budget, and is do it right, and hopefully this won't be brought up again.
What does this entail on staff side of overseeing it, monitoring it, ensuring that it's functioning properly during the meetings, wrapping it up? Can y'all put a labor estimate together on that, or a time? I mean, what does that look like on somebody else's end?
Well, and then this becomes a like a legal.
Well, it'll be archived either on Facebook or on
the web.
YouTube, depending on which one we go with.
Okay.
We could also, because I put the audio on the website, we could also save it and put it on the website as well. It'll entail a laptop or an iPad, depending on if you do two cameras. It'll be me switching the cameras back and forth and making sure and watching the comments to make sure everything's going correctly.
But we need your focus and attention in the meeting, not monitoring whether audio is working or video is working, or whatever.
Right.
So what would our end all be all solution be for, as you're putting the rest of the bids together? How do we handle that?
I think that's a concern. Our IT department is limited.
I think the one potential vendor we've met with today is probably, in my experience, the most well-versed in the an AV setup for governmental entities. And I think his approach is putting something or proposing something that takes as little time as possible.
Okay.
From Kim C.
Good.
And I think the other approach, and ideally, you know, you are asking somebody to design this for you. You don't really have a standard specification for camera location, how it feeds, what the exploration is, you know, in terms of running wires.
Mm-hmm.
So you're asking for a proposal for design as well as cost. And I think what Aysville will come back with is probably a menu for council to consider.
Okay.
But I think he also is very sensitive to the amount of time that staff would have to put in.
Good. Okay.
Hopefully it wouldn't be any more than having to change the battery out every week or every 2 weeks.
Yeah. So I guess that this will come up when the companies get with you and you have more of a proposal.
I should have it by next.
Okay. Awesome.
So we don't need to table it. We just do, you know, like no action.
No action.
We were just wanting direction.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, number 7, discussion regarding council input and direction for scheduling water workshops, seeking stakeholder input on water issues, discussing water rates, and assessing water improvement and capacity projects. So, Finley, would you like, Kara's got some things to say on this, so I don't know if you want to go first or...
The agenda language is laid out in probably the broadest terms possible to allow council a lot of latitude for discussion and even input. There are a number of items that individual council members have discussed with me, including, you know, do we need to form a stakeholder group? Or do we need some, you know, specific workshop sessions or specific meetings related to this? Do we need to do some project scoping? Do we need to invite, you know, our engineer consultants as well as our water attorney to a future meeting? Do we need to review rates in light of the pause on firm water contract? All of those items, I think, have been talked about by you and certainly talked about by the public. And I think... certainly, we also want to put into the mix, kind of where we sit in terms of the financial status of the utility fund and in particular, water, which Kara has kind of spelled that out before you, as well as some of the rates that our consultant has projected as a recommendation for FY27. So with all that in mind, I think staff looks forward to your deliberation and direction on this item.
Okay, thank you. Kara?
My 2 cents were kind of seeing about doing some workshop type sessions and having some people that can speak on behalf of this, such as the consultants or the water rights attorney, to be able to answer some questions a little more clearly. But as we consider how we're going to move forward, there are some questions that I think we need to really, as a council, take to heart and as our citizens take to heart as to what our options are or what our options aren't, and where do we go from there, because that kind of drives what direction we end up taking of do we have a committee or are we seeking more answers and clarification. So this is kind of be a... I'm going to ask some questions and seek some input of what do you guys think? What do you guys think as our next solution of our water, future water needs? Do you think that's dredging? So how many in the audience think that dredging is our next solution only? Just say dredging only is our the solution to our future water needs.
For how long?
Forever.
Like that's
it. I think
it
needs to be done forever, but additional.
How about raising the height of the dam as the only solution to our future water needs?
Non-starter.
Or a combination of those two. How many think that?
Okay.
And not limited to those types. No. It should be all of the above. But I am a fan of raising the dam.
Okay.
How come, what does it entail when you raise the dam? You have to go to all of the expense of doing something structurally because you're going to be holding more water, correct? What does that all entail?
So there's a part, we'll kind of get, we'll jump ahead really quick to answer your question. The money from the foundation, our $3.5 million loan and grant, the purpose of that grant was to do the studies to evaluate the dam's structural integrity as they sit, as well as if we were to increase the height of the dam. And the money was also to develop all of our other studies, whether that's FEMA impact, any of our permitting, to get the process started. The $3.5 million grant was, instead of using our citizens' money right now to do these studies, if that money was on the table, it was like, wait a minute, let's time out on, let's take a pause on our money and let's use the grant money for that, right?
For the studies.
Kind of getting back on track though, how many pink horizontal wells is the answer and the solution to moving forward?
We don't know much about it.
Horizontal wells.
Okay. So how many of y'all have read the studies and the reports that the city has? From 1988 to the 2012 to all of our reports
and studies. They were what she covered in our town hall meeting in September.
Friesen-Nichols reports. Yeah. So you know and understand what they're asking and saying in there, right? Based on those studies and those reports, Friesen-Nichols, they had their suggestions of that the city should consider opening negotiations with the downstream senior water rights holders so that they would not exercise their rights to make a priority call. The owner of the largest senior water rights is El Sure. This agreement could be an upstream diversion contract or something other than agreement. El Sure has entered into similar agreements with the water rights holders, such as the City of San Angelo and Brown County Water Improvement District 1, allowing them to divert water before any senior downstream water rights holders. Similarly, El Sure has permitted the development of an upstream diversion location for the City of Lomita. And again, this is Friesen-Nichols. This is from their technical memo. This is not something I wrote. This is straight out of their recommendations. And then the second one was that the city might consider amending its existing water rights to include currently unauthorized storage. Since TCEQ WAM would likely show little benefit, an agreement with the downstream senior water rights holders would be beneficial to this purpose. Part of the agreement with the downstream senior water rights could be included in the agreement to not contest such water right applications. So based on these recommendations, a year ago, as we were trying to get to Region K and get our strategy approved with Region K, that's the strategy based on those recommendations was to increase our firm water rights, to approve the water right contract and general information from El Sure, and authorize the mayor to execute these documents so that we would meet that strategy with Region K. Region K is part of the state water plan. So the state's divided up into regions. Region K is the lower Colorado region. And the state water plan is under Texas Water Development Board's guidance. And so they're the ones that set all these precedents out, and they have, they asked the different regions to set different strategies so that they know how to plan during drought situations. Our past one that was on the records was to do the wastewater reuse. But based on the studies that we paid money for, it was telling us to do something different. So kind of going back to why that we went with the application, why would the city council approve this application that was being recommended as well as for the Region K, but also for our security of our future water? Why would the council approve this application without the intent of moving forward? And why would the city not have a plan to start making payments from day one of that contract? So if we all voted in June of last year to move forward, why would we anticipate not moving forward with that? And why would we not set aside the money for that? So if you're going to go buy a car, do you anticipate buying a car without having a down payment, right? So that's the part of go ahead and adding the money onto the utility bills, right? And again, kind of recapping back to what you had said, but knowing that there was a good possibility for this very generous grant and loan coming, why at this time would the city use our budgeted funds to continue with the studies associated with raising the heights, doing the permitting, doing the engineering for planning and design, or impacts, the flood impacts? Why would we use our city's money when we can use the grant money to get that done?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay. I read the grant and the loan documents. Mm-hmm. They don't specifically state anything about raising the height of the dam. It talks about dam rehabilitation, and the money is used for dam rehabilitation. And
that's correct. Right. That is correct.
Okay. So we don't have to raise the dam to use the money.
That's correct.
We can use the money for rehabilitating the dam, which it probably needs some rehabilitation.
Absolutely. Bare minimum, yes.
Okay. If we were to raise the dam, and that was one of the things that would come out in the study, that's something that we wanted to do, obviously that would increase our acre for the storage, and so we'd have to go to TCEQ and ask for an increase in that, correct?
Yes.
And $7 million... Would that total $7 million, would it cover the cost of being raised? If it's not, how much money is the city then going to be on tap for? It's nice that we have $7 million. I think that that's great. But when we look at our future, we have a hard time with what we have now. How are we going to pay for whatever that cost increase
is? Oh, can the clock drop? Thank you.
Well, what's it going to cost above and beyond the $7 million? I know we don't know.
We don't know. So that $7 million was a probable cost of construction that did not include project management, construction oversight, those kind of things, right? That was construction only. Just a second.
While she's catching her breath, I want to make a quick statement. This grant is attached to the loan. And the loan and all is attached to us completing whatever we're going to decide to do. So it's not just, oh, go out and explore. We have to complete
we're going to do.
We don't have to complete it. So if at any point during this we determine that we don't want to do anything, we can give the money back.
Correct.
Yes, we do not have to complete it.
You're talking the $7 million, not just three. You have to give all of it back.
The $3.5 million was the grant, and I don't remember exactly the terms of the grant, but if we basically don't use it, we give it back.
Now, if we use part of it, do we have to give it all back?
Or
do we have to give back what we didn't use?
If we use the grant money to do the studies, to determine what it's going to cost to do any kind of construction or any path forward to get us to that point. And we determined that we can't do this. But we've spent it on the studies for the dams, that we do not have to give that money back.
Good.
That is not how I read it.
And I know, I read it, and mostly that I agree with how she said it. That's how I understood it when I read it.
I talked to the foundation people, mm-hmm. sat in almost every meeting with Marion, and that is it. As long as we prove that we used it
for the
dams, structural integrity, raising the height.
All the studies.
So if we chose to not raise the dam, but we chose to rehabilitate the dam, when we used that $7 million mm-hmm. in that, say it only cost us $5 million, we would just give the other $2 million back, and we would have the $5 million then.
Correct. Yes.
What do we have to give back first, the loan or the grant?
Let's do the loan. We would have to pay it back.
Can I say that? It's obvious. If we're stuck with the loan, we have to pay the interest. So. Mm-hmm.
And if we did not go with raising the dam, my question is, if we didn't collectively decide that we wanted to go with GUI wells or underground well or horizontal well, whatever, that is going to make us, is that going to make us go repay this?
We cannot use it for GUI wells. We cannot use it for horizontal drilling. We cannot use it for off-channel storage.
It's the dam rehabilitation.
I would like to weigh in also here when I talk about this. Is dam rehabilitation, because you use that money to put flood gates in.
whatever we need.
Because let me explain something, y'all. Y'all like the bridge in Reno, if you start raising the dam, these floods are getting worse and worse, and I can tell you because I've lived over my whole life. If they hadn't dredged the river the last time, my parents' house would be gone. So by taking water, by taking sand out, we're leaving more room for water to be flooding.
So floodgates won't help you. Floodgates here will not operate like floodgates at the cannon or anywhere else, right?
At the bottom of the dam, and you know a flood's coming, you open them, and that way the sand goes out.
By the time that 300,000 CFS comes over the top of that dam, those floodgates are useless, and it doesn't help you out. I can guarantee you that as a fact. Okay.
We can't start adding to the bridge to the dam, or you're going to lose the bridge.
What I can tell you is that the money for the studies would do an impact study based on those flood conditions and any 500-year flood or whatever, the PMF, probable maximum flood, whatever they do those studies on, they will do that study and tell us what the impact would be. So that would be a go, no-go point.
Right.
But the part is, we're not spending that money right now out of our city budget to do that.
Right.
We're going to use the grant money to determine where those go, no-go points are, right?
I was just curious if it would cover something like that, if it's feasible to do.
But we will rehab the gates that are in there.
Yeah.
And both Robinson and here in Town Lake.
So,
those need to be rehabbed.
So we could use the money.
I'm sorry, I'm talking sick after Christmas.
We could use the money, like you said, to do the study, to determine what our options are. City Council could then just decide what option they would like to take. So it doesn't have to be focused on raising the dam. It can be focused on the rehabilitation, what it would cost to rehabilitate, what it would cost to raise the dam, the whole gamut. And then you would have options as to what you wanted to do to use that money for.
In essence, yes. Okay. Where do you get the most bang for your buck?
Exactly.
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question. If you raise the dam and we hold more water than is our capacity that we're supposed to have, do we have to contract with LCRA?
Yes,
water?
Absolutely.
We're looking at our water contract one more time that we didn't want.
Yes, ma'am. But we have to do that now because we are storing right now more
we
water
already have to do
than
that.
We are authorized to store.
I guess if they come and they want it, I guess they can come get it.
But those permits that we have for our acre part with TCEQ, not with LCRA.
That is correct. But when we go to TCEQ and we tell them, and they already know, because the conversations have been had,
right,
they already know that we are storing more water than we are authorized
right.
to store.
Right.
They have graciously allowed us to install the flashboards periodically on the dam, knowing that we store more water than we are allowed. They know that we have been looking into, for the last 5 years or so, they know we have been looking into how do we secure, or what do we do for our water to help us for our future needs. And they are basically allowing us to do this, knowing that we're going to come back to them and ask them to increase our storage capacities. They have told us, when you come and ask us to increase your storage capacity, come with everything that you can imagine that you think, like raising the height of the dam, dredging, what is that extra amount that you are going to need, and ask for it all at once, because you don't want to do 200 acre feet for raising the height of one dam, 200 acre feet for raising the height of the other dam, and 500 acre feet for dredging. You don't want to piecemeal that. You want to put it all together and say, this is what we are going to ask for moving forward. Because it's kind of a once and done type deal.
Okay, I forgot your name, ma'am, but Linda.
First off, it sounds like all this discussion is going back to the firm water contract that we already dealt with and were told that it was ceased. Okay, but my next question is, all these things and options that we're discussing, would that not be better addressed in a workshop?
You're exactly right.
Kind of a situation where everybody can look at the options, know what they are. And so I'm not sure exactly what you're asking to be voted on tonight.
We're not voting on anything. It's discussion only. So
okay.
There's no vote.
Well, so So my suggestion is that we put together some of these community meetings, some workshops.
Yeah, and that's exactly what
we're doing. That's in the first
That's the item on the agenda.
People, knowledgeable people who are able to help interpret these various reports and various options. You know, there have been some other options presented, and I don't know, for instance, if it's a water well, wherever you get the water well from, wherever you place it, whatever, whether it's under the river or from some other, okay. But that water would not necessarily be put into the river to raise, and it wouldn't be subject to that. So, I mean, there's just so many variables.
So there's a part of it. How much do we recap the last 4, 5, 6 years worth of where these studies are, what the studies have driven? And that was kind of the purpose of the town hall meeting as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can go back. We can certainly go back and rehash all of that all over again if that is what you guys need, right? At the end of the day, what we need to know is when I finish this, right? What do we need? And yes, we have a voice of the citizens in here, but there are also other people, right? What we need to know is, are you in favor of raising the height of the dam or increasing storage capacity in any manner? Or are you in favor of
just dredging?
Just dredging or those kind of things. But let me finish, right? So if you don't mind, as we kind of talk about the horizontal wells, because that keeps floating out there, right? So, Addie, y'all had groundwater wells at y'all's water facilities, right? Who owns that water? I mean, when you're talking about groundwater, who defines who owns that water?
I would have assumed we did.
Because?
It was on our property.
Because it's on your property.
So the landowner.
The state of Texas.
The state of Texas is yours.
The state of Texas, it's the rule of capture for groundwater. So you own the land, you own the water beneath it. Surface water. Who owns the water flowing down the Atlanta River?
The state of Texas.
State of Texas. Mm-hmm. That is not our water. Mm-hmm. That water belongs to the state. Who owns the water that's flowing below that river? The underflow.
Has the LTR hand?
Nope.
Who owns the property?
State. The state of Texas owns the water below the river. Because it's a navigable waterway.
Mm-hmm.
So, Les, I own a piece of property right over here. I drill me a well. It's a dry hole. Les over here, he's got a nice well, like 100 gallons a minute. Is it legal for me to drill a horizontal well from my property over to his property?
No.
Absolutely not. What makes it legal for us to drill a horizontal well into the riverbed?
I'm not saying that this is legal. I'm just saying that these are all things.
I'm just throwing it out there, right?
What workshop said?
What makes it legal? Okay. Who has jurisdiction and management over the Llano River?
TCEQ.
Yes, sir. TCEQ, Parks and Wildlife.
LCRA.
General Land Office. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And the LCRA, because it is part of the Lower Colorado River drainage basin. Thank you very much for the golf drop.
Golf drop.
I couldn't have made it.
It's got THC.
Oh. let me check that. It's got THC. I wouldn't vote for it. That's funny.
Maybe that's what I needed.
Yeah.
Okay. yeah. So we've already talked about that we are impounding more water than what we are permitted. We have an unauthorized storage amount. So if we are storing this water that is not authorized, who has the rights to that excess water? Whose water is that?
TCEQ.
TCEQs?
They're the ones that authorize us to store it.
They're the ones that authorize it, right?
They've allowed us to manage
water rights. People who have downstream older water rights. And this was something Finley kind of pointed out, but back in 23 and 24, there was the James River Dam that a private person built, right? And we passed a resolution, R-20-23-26, opposing the dam. Opposing the dam because it threatened our city's water supply and cited that it was based on information and belief that the landowner obtained no permit, water rights, or contract to purchase the surface water from any state or federal agency within the jurisdiction over those matters prior to commencing construction. So on that same principle, if we are storing unpermitted water, how do you think the downstream people feel about that? I mean, like we have an unauthorized storage. They feel the same way as what we felt about the James River, right? So it's part of doing the right thing. So if our path forward and our intent is to maintain more than 700 acre feet in both of these lakes, and our path is to go to TCEQ and ask for additional storage in these lakes, we're going to be knocking on their door and asking for another firm water contract, because of how the water systems work and that this is in the lower Colorado Basin. We only have our little certificate of adjudications that allows us to store what we store, right? So with that being said, if you don't want to do the firm water contract and you want to get rid of the $3.16 on your bills, right, we can do that. We kind of have to know what direction we need to head. There's some of this stuff that we have been studying. There's things that we have put together, and just because like we put a town hall and we throw these things out there, it's not that they haven't been thought about, right? I mean, the people have been in the rooms. They have talked to the engineers. We have talked to TCEQ. This is not just a haphazard throw it together. We're not thinking about things, right? And so I think, you know, for us to know of whether we go ahead and throw a committee together, would you rather hear it from an engineer or a water rights attorney, those kind of things. Again, I have thrown my number out there a boatload of times. Nobody has called to ask questions about any of this. I am a very open person. Addie, did I not sit and talk to you for hours, right? I will answer any questions. I am very passionate about this. This has nothing to do with my job at LCRA. It has to do with I am a resident of the city. I live here. I have lived here. And I have done this for probably 6 years of my 7.5 years on council of trying to move forward with the studies and the reports and help those things move along, right? So, again, if you have the questions, I will answer your questions.
Kathy?
I thought one of the biggest problems that all of us had, because a lot of us should have done a lot of reading and, look into some things and are passionate about some things also. But I thought our problem was during droughts, when it's coming, and it's coming, that nobody's going to be able to help us, and we're not going to have that water anyway. So if you can explain to me that we're going to have enough water to get through a drought, and we have a firm water contract, and somebody's willing to help us get water to our community, I'm more than willing to see what's going on and try to figure that out. But when I looked at 2026 Region K, for the cities and what their plans are, and I did that, I guess, 2 nights ago. For Llano, let's see, the 2021, it says conservation, curtailment, and truck water. 2026 one says curtailment, then we say conservation, truck water in. I mean, so what's the plan?
Then that shouldn't be in the 20. They're in the process of Region K.
It was 2025 being ready to be processed. It's online right now.
Yeah.
So I just want to be convinced that $82,000 a year, we're going to have water.
So it's a twofold. It's a multifold.
Because we can't even pay, people can't pay their water bills around here.
Yep. Yep.
And it's, and if y'all get ready to raise it rates again, I don't know. Something creative has got to happen to find some money.
So do we start with a workshop? And how do we get the answers that you need without rehashing a whole lot of...
I'm not interested in rehashing.
Thank you.
Jerry Dunn.
Karen, did you say that the only way you can ask for extension or get, I don't know if you call it an extension or whatever, to have more water, right, to hold more water, to store more water, is if you enter into that contract?
So in order for us to go to TCEQ and increase our storage capacity, amend our certificate of adjudication, where we have the 700 acre feet that we're storing between both of our lakes, in order to amend that certificate of adjudication, we have to go to TCEQ. TCEQ is going to in turn tell us, hey, you're going to have to go to LCRA or somebody else, because there's nobody else, but you're going to have to go to LCRA and get a firm water contract through them, because ultimately that is their water.
Yeah.
The, anything outside the 700 acre feet is City of Austin, LCRA, rice farmers, whatever. That's their water.
So LCRA is holding them hostage, holding them.
No, because we are asking them. That's where we need to go, right? If we're asking them to do this, we don't have to, but we're going to live with 700 acre feet. And I can guarantee you, if those lakes right there had 700 acre feet and 22, we would have ran out of water.
The problem is we're going to run out of water before anybody downstream does. They're not, the whole thing about the firm water contract is that it's a drought plan, you know, and they're supposed to guarantee us a certain amount of water. But they can't guarantee it because they can't get it to us.
But we don't make the rules of our storage capacity either. Like, we don't, those are state mandated rules. We don't make the rules that if we exceed that capacity and we go to TCEQ, we don't make the rules of where we get that water from.
If you say, well, you're going to have to pay $82,000 or more, because it says it can go up, for something that you're never going to receive any benefit from, because that's what this amounts to. You can't make water run uphill.
Again, do we bring in a water rights attorney that can speak to that language and address those questions?
I don't think it requires an attorney.
It does.
Yes, sir.
An attorney can't make the water.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You keep talking about 700 acre feet of storage. What is your basis for saying that we now have 700 acre feet?
We've measured it.
We are permitted. We are permitted through TCEQ for a combination of 700 acre feet between both of our lakes.
We don't have that storage.
We have
the last time we had.
We're over that.
And I mean, as big flood, it washed so much stuff down into the bottom of the upstream storage and the town lake storage that significant dredging was needed. It produced an island in Kingsland that was never there before.
In 2000...
We've had a flood that was about half that big, and it also washed in gravel, sediment, and everything else. We don't have the amount of storage you're talking about.
We have about 1,000 acre feet.
When was the last study done? 25.
It was before the bathymetric study,
but it was before the flood, correct?
Okay.
It was before the July 4th. We probably have 700 acre feet.
We have more.
As a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
My question would be, in the firm water, the 400 whatever acre feet that we would ask for, I guess I struggle with understanding exactly what that does. If we already are permitted to have, say we got a permit for 1,000 acre feet, an assumption, what does that 474 acre feet give me, you know, in a breakdown? What does it do for me in a drought situation? Because if I have 700 acre feet and I'm permitted 700 acre feet, why do I need to have a firm water contract for water I already have?
And that's why you need a water rights attorney to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that's where the answer is to have somebody like that, or the engineering company to come in and tell you.
I would like to see a discussion, an open, like we're having now, discussion with whoever wants to show up and ask the questions.
And I think I'm going to let Les talk, and then we're going to wrap this up.
No, I think it's clear that the big crux of this issue is storage, current permit. Where are we? What's the biggest that number's been? What's our exposure, and why we're trying? Like, and how all that interrelates?
Okay.
Like, somebody explain to, okay, here's 780 feet. Okay, I want to dredge. You know, what can we do? What can't we do? So I think those are all critical pieces that in a workshop where we go through all those and we make it as explicitly clear as we can and try to get everybody on the same page.
Okay.
And it's pretty important when you start giving up the control of your water rights for 40 years.
Okay. Let's wrap this up. We're going to move on to...
Mayor, I'm sorry. I do have a...
Okay. All right. She's it.
well, you can't limit this to... I will say, and we just said it, but every time you have a flood, you're going to have your water storage change, and that's a given. The dam that we have, even though it probably wasn't designed for that, every time back in, you know, I'm going to say Rogers, Moraine here as city manager, he would open those gates, and that sand would flow through, and we didn't have all the buildup as we have now. And if we raise the height of the dam, we will have to obviously change the gate or make sure and use them right like we're supposed to. But every time that we bring this up, it is, you know, we can say we have 700 feet out there right now. We might have 5. We don't know unless we do a barometric survey every week, I mean every month, or every time after, say a month after every flood. So, and it really, when we do that, all we're doing is telling them how much we have more or how much we have less. So, anyway, that's...
I invite all of you with this passion. I love it. I really do. But we are planning workshops and where we can all get together and cuss and discuss and whatever we need to do to figure out our next path forward. So, thank y'all for that. Number 8.
Thank y'all for opening it up to everybody.
Yeah.
We would never do that at
Commissioner's Court. I know. I got yelled at Commissioner's Court last time I was there. Discuss and consider utility consulting agreement with a sign from above. I have a couple of folks with some thoughts on that. Michael, would you like to share your ideas? Wayne? Okay, Wayne, you go first.
Council, thank you. I think you understand for the streaming audience. My name is Wayne DeCesaris. I was a bit surprised to see this agreement. We all know who a sign from above is. It's Josh. And I'm going to ask you, Council, Finley and I spoke, and I'm going to ask that you approve this, but do not write the contract with Josh. We know he's a divisive individual. Folks on that side of the glass, not very popular. I would not do this with Josh. I would, these are big time rates. I would talk to other companies that are larger than a single man shop and do a contract with them if we need additional resources. And we probably do, and as a taxpayer, I'm happy to pay more. This is our water that's coming into our homes. I am looking forward to the day when we get an independent consultant to tell us what's going on with our distribution. So I'm asking you, approve it, but don't sign this contract. Go out and find a legitimate firm.
Okay.
There is a message that's going to get sent with this to our staff. And that message is not good. And that is that we don't trust you. That message is we accept toxic behavior, and we don't. Let's turn the page now and start doing things right. Get professional agreements, get professional companies in here. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Michael.
Mayor, members of the council, I have a few comments. That's why I didn't go first. I'll try to be brief. Basically, I went through this proposal. And my question is, I have questions and comments. My question is, did we put this together or did this come from the individual who wants to provide these services?
Finley, can you answer that?
He's supposed to provide testimony to council and public comments. He's not necessarily asking questions of staff, but
we don't have to answer.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, because this is a very poorly written contract proposal. There's a lot of things that are really duplicated. There's a lot of things in here that absolutely means that this individual, the way it's written, this individual is going to be here 24/7, nothing short of it. I mean,
that's not how I read it.
If you read the contract, that's what it says.
That's not what I read.
He's here to supervise staff. Is here to supervise operations
as needed,
day to day. Now, if you read the contract, that's what it says, and that's what I'm saying. It's a poorly written contract, and the city can definitely do better than this. This is really shameful. Thank you,
Linda.
Back to my original question: is this another situation where other bids considered?
Not at this point, no.
Well, that can easily go over 50,000.
Okay.
So, you know, to me, almost all the things that the city does should have some competitive bidding going on.
Okay.
I have a few comments to make. I'm going to say that if anybody knows me and how long I've been on here, I've always voiced my opinion, and I'm not always in agreement with Josh. But he has given us true dedication and has contributed to our city for over the last 20 years. He does know our infrastructure like nobody else. And I don't know why we would cut our nose off to spite our face with somebody who knows our system. I'm not saying that we should go into this contract, but I don't think that we should just say thanks but no thanks and don't let the door hit you in the butt. We need his expertise and his knowledge of our pipes and infrastructure. But is this proposal end-all, and this is what we got to do, and we have to sign it tonight? Absolutely not. And I agree with you, if we're going to go out and ask for a consultation of a company, we should get bids. But just keep in mind that Josh does have intimate knowledge of what has gone on here the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm pro or con. I'm just saying we need to keep the door open.
Finley, would you like to add to this?
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just a couple things. I'm not going to read over your summary page. And one of the things that we ask you to look at is not necessarily this contract as a whole, but the piece which I think makes the most sense. Prior to my discussion with staff, I was a person that asked Mr. Becker if he would consider a call and consult agreement. And by that, I mean simply a call and consult. Pick up the phone. We've got issues with these valves in this part of town. Or, as the example that was given to me by one of our staff, it was taking me 4 hours to calibrate an analyzer, and Mr. Becker had the ability to do that in 30 minutes. Prior to receiving the proposal from Josh, I did call in Carl and Billy, and I discussed with them about, does this make sense? We talked about the transition in general, and they said if we did have to call somebody, first of all, it would likely take longer. They would not know our operation as well. And then this morning, we had an entire staff meeting, and it was discussed among many other things this morning, where staff reiterated under a very focused scope, it would make sense. I agree we do not need the full offerings of the proposal, just a call as needed. We can report that usage on a monthly basis, but I think some of our staff that have been here for 10, 15, 20 years thought that this would make more sense in calling somebody that did not know our system. Okay. The call and consult rate is $150 an hour. There is some travel
rate that's lower than that, and there's certainly some after-hours rates a little bit more than that. But I think that's the suggestion. And certainly council has latitude to say, let's do this 6 months at a time, see if it makes sense. But I think there is some testimony from staff that I've talked with that say something like this makes sense.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. It doesn't say possible action, so can we still agree? Can we still vote on it? Okay. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
What documentation was created during his tenure that would allow you to consult existing paperwork to determine how the job should be done? Because keep in mind that you've employed an individual with a license with a greater capability than is required for the city of Llano. Very senior, tenured individual with lots and lots of years of experience. Where is this process written down?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Okay, but you're depending on this person to go ahead and make planning decisions based on experience in the job and what should be done next if you had choice A or choice B. Well, let's ask Josh and see what he recommends, okay? So you're asking an individual that you previously employed as a W-2 employee to go ahead and give you his best professional judgment, and we had monstrous cost overruns on the water tank repaint project. We had easement violations, which put the city into an extreme expenditure situation. These are the decisions you had from the employee who just left.
I wish we could blame everything about the water tower on Josh. I really do. That's not the case. I'm sorry. If you want to blame Josh on that, everything on that, go right ahead.
I'm just telling you, you were asking for executive level leadership that
I think
have anticipated problems like this, and if that was what resulted, then the contract was not adequately drafted.
So I will tell you on the water tower, if you would like to discuss that offline, mm-hmm. and I will bring up all of the change orders, and I will explain to you, I will show you pictures, I will explain to you everything about that water tower that is not his responsibility.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that offline.
Yeah. Okay.
Call me.
Okay.
Finley.
Oh.
Is it possible for us to say, can you work with Josh on a 6 month? I mean, if your staff, I'm here to support you and your staff. And if your staff so chooses to need somebody to consult who knows the system, is that something that y'all can work out and work through Luke or whatever it is and work out something on a 6 month basis or whatever and bring back to us? Or because there's some things in here that don't apply. Is that correct? There's like some different options,
yes,
and there's some. Can you narrow that focus down? And
yes, and you are correct. We would have to bring that back to you.
Yes.
Is the gist of this basically for troubleshooting existing things that the staff has a problem and doesn't know where something is or whatever to bring him in because of the years he's been here and he might know where it is?
Yeah,
are we talking about bringing in for consulting for whole new projects and stuff?
No, sir, not necessarily. I think the scope should be narrow so that the situation, like the example I gave where a piece of equipment,
mm-hmm.
we had trouble calibrating it, took X number of hours, and it was something that could be done much more efficiently otherwise. So I think what I'm hearing from council is you are... would like to see us maybe negotiate a more narrow scope that is more specific in some areas that would be, typically be a call when needed,
more of a troubleshooting.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to make a motion to direct staff to come back with a more narrow scope of what the consultation would look like and I think we should reach out to other consulting firms and see what they're going to do.
Okay, I have a motion.
Let me. I'll second.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask if the city are thinking of how you're going to get other staff, you know, accreditation where they can take over what Josh has done.
That's in the works.
In the future.
That's in the works. Yeah.
Okay. That was my question.
Yeah, that's always, we're always
aiming. We have a motion and a second.
Yeah. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Oh. I didn't see that one first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All righty. Number 9, discuss and consider use of the JLK for Regional Little League Coaches Meeting on March 15th, 2026. Okay, Finley? I know that's Alan, you want to talk?
Sure.
Okay, talk to us. Tell us.
Thank y'all for putting us at number 9.
Save the best for last, Alan.
Yeah. No, I represent Lanoye Baseball and Softball. I'm the president. Over the past 3 seasons, it's been season 3 or 4, we entered this new league, and I've come to the y'all before, and with hotel tax money, we didn't ask this year, but basically last year, Lanoye's in the center of this district. And this year we formed another district, so it's going to be a new West Region is what we're calling it. So it entails Lano, Mason, Junction, San Saba, Brady, Eden, Menard, San Saba, Kingsland, Kingsland, Burnett, Blanco, and Johnson City.
Oh, wow.
These age groups are anywhere from, I mean, we started 4U all the way to 15U, but 8U, 10U, 12U, 14U. Softball and baseball. We have this excellent facility out here. We used it last year. And then I called Finley the other day to ask if we could use it again, because since Lano is kind of the central location for all these towns, we need it for March 15th, the Sunday, from 2 p.m. to probably 7 p.m. We used it last year. We only turned on one set of lights and used the concessions bathroom side. We like to go through 8U softball and baseball first for about an hour piece, and just go from there. And from my calculations of what I read while I was sitting over there, I think between all the towns, 117 to 118 teams. So it's mandatory each head coach or assistant coach is present. And we're asking for all coaches. I personally will not be here. I'll be at spring break. But Jerry and I will be here, and some of our other board members will all be here. The ones that are here will be out there helping with this meeting. And so we're looking at anywhere from 125 to 300 coaches that will be here for their brief hour. But I know that y'all passed a new policy on how much to charge. I mean, we are a nonprofit, and I mean, I'm not asking for free. It would be nice to open it up to us for a few hours, and we'd clean and keep one set of lights off. There's also, that's we're going to discuss in this meeting, or they're going to discuss, Lano is hosting an 8U end-of-season tournament. It'll be May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We're going to have a double elimination, so it's going to be a 3 days full baseball with 8U only. We're going to try to do our Fish Brock fundraiser that Saturday. And you're going to have a lot of traffic through town. We all know here that you can't really tell how much money is going to generate that weekend, but it will generate some revenue in our restaurants, gas stations. I'm not sure how many will stay at night. I'm sure some of them will for the weekend. And then move along to June 24th to 25th. We're hosting a regional tournament, which is also 3 days of our new region. So we're building our league. Last year we were at 214 kids. This year we're at 199. And our numbers are good. Mm-hmm. And
what are the June dates?
June 24th and 25th will be either going to be 2 days or 3 days. It's a regional, so it's an all-star tournament. But we're not asking for the JLK for any of that. Or in May. Just letting y'all know the scope of how many people will actually be here. And we're trying to do our best to use our facility.
And I can attest, these people do go downtown, and they come in my store wearing their team shirts. And so, I mean, just this last weekend, the high school had a tournament. I don't know how many people from how many different towns came in my store. So
we're
trying
our best to, you know, promote Lano, and if it's going to be a lot of work for our volunteers, but I mean, we put our hand up and we volunteer to get these Lano because we're the hub, and we do have better facilities than most of the, if not all the towns other than Vernon. I mean, they just built 7 brand new fields, and if y'all like to build us 7 new fields out of the sewer plant and all the water, we're open to that because we are outgrowing our current facility. But like I said, we're not asking for free. We would love it for free, but I mean, we do understand if we need to pitch in a little bit of money to cover the lights, but it will be for roughly from 2 to probably 6 or 7 o'clock. We're talking 5 hours.
Okay. What is our day? I'm sorry. What is our day fee? I mean, what is our rental? Like, again, because it's not on here. It's $1,000
just for that one area.
I have something to say, and I agree with you. But I'm going to say that we should welcome this with open arms to let all these coaches come and see our wonderful facility. And this is also for the youth. And I've always gone back and forth on being able to pick and choose. I thought we need one straight rate for everybody, but we should be able to make exceptions. Mm-hmm. And I would like to just kind of throw this out there. Maybe you could get with the golf course and ask them to help make a promotion for that weekend to get those coaches in the night before and play golf. But it just kind of hand in hand to me.
It's spring break too, so it's kind of bad time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I have to say.
And I mean, we do have other options if we needed to go to the community center or the American Legion, but those buildings they're not.
Why not show up what we
have? We'd rather utilize the JLK Center because it's way nicer.
It's very nice. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move that we give it to them for free.
Okay. I have a motion.
Have one of them be a 4-H member and have an animal with them.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you all very much.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you, Alan. All righty, city manager report. Talk to us, Finley.
Is he on a 3-minute?
Yeah, 3 minutes.
We had a long meeting, so I'll just hit a few highlights. I do have the budget calendar included in the in my reports and attachment. That's primarily a staff budget calendar. We will be kind of following that for council in terms of leaning your budget priorities. We do anticipate some weight by council being given to utility rates, capital items, compensation. Project management, we continue to gather information, resources on the items that were discussed in the previous meeting and have built together somewhat of an outline or a table of contents for that item. Historic marker, Tony reports the local historic designation has been granted for the Lions/Fire Hall baseball field. I had to look up exactly what that field was called because it's always been called Fire Hall. But somewhere else, there's a...
That's this one right here, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Anyway, there's several players now in their 80s, not now in the 80s, but now in their 80s. Recognized coaches from the time and those families. And that experience they had at that time. Looks like the dedication will happen sometime this spring. And also note that the current board is continuing to make repairs and put that field back in use. Sewer averaging, just a reminder that we'll have just completed sewer averaging. That is the methodology where you take your average water use from the months of December, January, and February and use that to determine what your sewer rate will be. There is a base charge and a tiered charge, just as in water. We have been receiving a number of calls regarding high utility bills in the month of January. We've done some comparison with previous Januaries, and it's we had three more billing days in this billing cycle than we did in the last year, as well as we had an extreme cold spell between January 24th and 31st. And of course, you know, there's no hiding the fact that our water rates had also gone up during that time. But a lot of it was related to consumption, in particular those weather events after a shoulder month or a bridge month where you have somewhat temperate weather, then it does make a big impact. LEAP, public safety staff have been meeting with LEAP organizers regarding their event March 26th through 29th. We have identified a good traffic pattern for emergency personnel and equipment. They do anticipate several thousand people in attendance, and they will be getting their preparations and set up around March 20th. Staff meetings, again, with the retirement of Josh, we've been meeting with utility, park, and street staff to discuss the transition of duties. Wanted to note to you that Bill Schultz will be assuming on an interim basis the supervision of Park Citizens Collection Station and will be assisting Brittany at the JLK with resources as she needs. Water and Wastewater Department for the immediate future, plant personnel and field personnel will report to the city manager. If they feel it necessary, at a later time, an interim team manager may be appointed. Staff has been modifying the organizational chart and will probably include both an intro and a full chart next meeting for council consideration. Connex, these are the double boxes that you see all over town. They are becoming popular because they're readily available and they're relatively inexpensive. As with any type of new land uses or new changes in building, sometimes your zoning regulations lag behind, so our staff is working with the Planning and Zoning Commission to take a look at how we want to define those uses as well as regulate their use in town. And we're seeing this because they're so inexpensive. You know, all of a sudden you see a new box in the middle of a vacant lot and somebody's using it. So we want to try to catch up a little bit in terms of those items. Drainage, we did meet with our engineers from Steve Zell to discuss some drainage projects that were currently on the books. We are waiting some boundary surveys for those, but those areas include Open and Sandstone, Main and Bailey, and Black Creek Drive at California, kind of that two or three block area on the west side of town. That'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
I have one little thing I want to add. If y'all have not been out to the Rockford site, I suggest you go and look at the amphitheater. It's I'm sure this project is probably not going to please everybody, but it is a vast improvement on what we have, and it's almost complete.
It looks really good. Okay.
I appreciate the calendar for the budget cycle not having like 30 something meetings in it.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's great.
So.
That's because we have the council calendar together.
Yeah, well, we don't need all that.
Here's a picture.
Okay, does anyone? Oh, yeah, I took some yesterday too. It looks really good. Does anyone have any questions on the financials for Kara? Nope. If not, 7:53, meeting adjourned.